In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at the fourth Sunday in Lent in Cycle C, which will be, that's March 10th. So, we're going to begin now. The first section, I want to reflect a bit on fasting. It's such an essential part of every serious effort of humankind to attain to the truth or to be prepared. Not just Jews and Christians, everybody. But you may recall there's a text in chapter 7 of St. Matthew's Gospel, I think it's 7. Where our Lord says, you know, when you fast, don't do this, do this. When you pray, don't do this. When you give alms, don't. All right. Now, that order, I don't know why. I think Matthew adjusted the order because he wanted to put the Our Father, when you pray, and then he has the Our Father, if you look in the Gospel. There are three foundations, okay? This text here, Simeon the Just, is a rabbi. Upon three things the world stands, okay? And he gives them as, in this translation, worship, Torah, worship, and the showing of kindness, okay? Another way to say those things is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And that's what you find. It might be worth reading it. This is the gospel we always have on Ash Wednesday. Our Lord's instruction on how to keep Lent. And what he's doing is taking those three basic things that we just read there from Simeon the Just, which is the rabbinic tradition of the foundation of all piety. Now, the Gospel says, just a minute, I'll get it for you here. All right. Chapter 6, be careful not to parade your good deeds before men. And so it says, you see, when you give alms, do it this way. When you pray, do it this way. And then he gives you the Our Father. And then, finally, you see, when you fast, don't advertise it. Now, Matthew puts these three basic works in a different order. The tradition, I think he does it so that the Our Father can be in the middle of his presentation. Now, when you pray, this is the way you pray. But it goes, see, it's prayer, fasting, almsgiving, prayer, so that you're in touch with God, fasting, so that you're restraining yourself, and then almsgiving, if you restrain yourself, you have something to give away. Food, money, time, clothes, whatever. If you deprive yourself, then you can give away. Now, in Jewish piety, as we just read in Simeon the Just, and it's elsewhere too, these are the foundations. And so our Lord is taking those fundamental things. And you'll notice that in Ash Wednesday, or you will have noticed it by the time you're listening to this. Okay, so fasting is the one I want to talk about. Fasting. We exist, we continue to exist, because we take part of this cosmos and put it in our body, or we'd die. That's a symbol of the what we do to so many things. We study, we take in information, insight, and we make it our own. The greatest temptation then is to eat too much on every level, not just food. Food, sleep, people, knowledge, security, whatever. We take it into ourselves. Now, and we're going to be there in a moment. The first basic thing is prayer. If we're not in touch with God, we're not going to be able to do these things. And these things support our prayer. So it goes prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Prayer. Be in touch with God. Fast. Deprive yourself. Almsgiving, if you deprive yourself, you have something to give away. If usually you spend, if you're in business and you're downtown, you might spend $40 to $60 a week on lunch, depending on how hungry you are and where you eat. Suppose you were to cut that down to, say, $30 a week. Well, if that's impossible, $40. You'd have all that other money to give away. In other words, you deprive yourself not only as a ascetic exercise, but also as a way of not being the center of the universe. You see, I need this universe to keep me alive. I need the air, I need the water, I need the food, all of which is outside me, comes into me through my mouth, and it's what keeps me alive. Now, if I'm preoccupied with keeping myself alive in the wrong way, I eat too much, I drink too much, I whatever, because I'm the center of the universe, and I have to be kept alive. So fasting is saying, among other things, I have a point to a beautiful article here, Lord, I'm not the center of the universe, you are. I don't need to keep taking everything of this world and stuffing it into my body or into my mind or whatever. I don't need to do that. You are my manna. You are my light. You are my truth. And I don't have to do that. And if I don't do it, you see, praying and now fasting, then I have stuff to give to others. Food, money, time, you know, because I'm fasting. So I want to talk a little bit, continue to talk a little bit about fasting. I don't know if you know about this book, The Dictionary of Biblical Theology. I'll repeat the title again. Dictionary of Biblical Theology was edited by Father Xavier Leon Dufour. It's in English. Dictionary of Biblical Theology. You can Google it or Amazon it or something. You'll find it. It's a precious book. Now, this is, I'm just going to take some excerpts from it on the biblical teaching on fasting. Fasting consists in depriving oneself of all food and drink and even of sexual relations for one or more days from one sunset to the next. That's the biblical notion. Fast from sunset to sunset. Don't eat anything. Today in the West, even Christians don't see that that's important. They value being moderate in your food intake, being moderate in what you spend on yourself, being moderate in your sexual life. But they don't get it. You see? It's that I take my body and make it part of my spiritual life. Body, I can't be praying and studying and being nice to people and at the same time stuffing myself with food and drink and people and luxury and time and comfort. I can't do that. And so that's the point, you see? Now, I'm going to quote this one paragraph from this book. We turn to the Lord with an attitude of dependence and total abandonment. Now, this is the case, for instance, before undertaking a difficult task. It's in the book of Judges. When asking for pardon for a fault or a cure, or being sought in the case of mourning after being widowed, or a national disaster, to obtain the end of some calamity, to open one's mind to divine light, to await the grace necessary to accomplish some mission, and to prepare oneself to meet God. Those are the biblical reasons given for why we fast. You see, because we are self-centered. And if we don't deprive ourselves, we stay that way. And God just becomes a means to an end. I even start to eat God. Well, I'm allowed to do that in the Eucharist, but I mean, psychologically, eat God, keep myself comfortable, keep myself safe, keep myself on the right side of God for my sake. What about God? So that's what this thing is saying, you see. And as you know, see, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur is the great fast, huh? And it's even mentioned in the book of Acts. And then there were other national fasts called, besides regular fasts. And then there were people, remember the prayer of the Pharisee? I'm not like other people, I fast twice a week. That's a fast. But a Muslim fast is nothing goes into your mouth from dawn to sunset. Nothing, not even water in that dry, hot climate. Nothing goes into your mouth for those who really keep the fast. Now, they have a nice big meal as soon as the sun goes down. But during the day, nothing goes into your mouth from sunrise to sunset. When I lived in Jerusalem, my window opened out into a graveyard. When Ramadan started, very first morning, I heard, boom! I thought, oh my gosh, a bomb someplace, or whatever I thought. And then I got up and looked out the window, and for the first time I really took serious, there's a cannon out there. And then I figured out what the cannon was for. It announces that you've got like one more hour before the fast starts. And at night, it booms again to tell you the fast is over. And now, the fast for the day is over. Well, the kids like this because it's a big meal at night, so it's like Christmas every night for them. But it's a tough fast. Not even water in that climate. So, that's penance. But it's also for all these other reasons that are given here. You see, the Apostolic Church had that. Remember, in Acts 13, they were all in prayer and fasting when the Holy Spirit said, separate from me Barnabas and Saul for a task I have for them. So, fasting is an integral part of any serious life, and certainly of any serious religious life, and more deeply, any serious Christian life.